I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to Freddie and Mark.
This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009, and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah. You're listening to the Chicago Bullseye.
I'm not here around this week. Now, you may be, but I'm not.
You hungry?
Hey, Ma! We get some meatloaf!
Think this is the greatest, I will fight you. That's no lie.
You clap for the killers.
All right, let's rock.
Give it up for them gangsters.
Throw them off that.
One time for the killers.
Whoa.
Double up for them gangsters.
Just live in the dream.
Hi, I'm Bill White, and welcome to Chicago Bulls.
I gotta be honest, I come in, it's like a little like I'm trying to get my parents to cartoons, your mom, and it's like, you still got it.
All right. Hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to, actually, this, we got a long story. We got a lot going on here. So we did a podcast yesterday, and which is actually going to be a part of this show that you are all hearing right now. However, later in the day, some big news, I would say, happened that I think warranted another podcast. But first of all, Fred, how you doing? You doing good today? You feeling good?
Living the dream. Mark, I was so ecstatic. I spent the whole evening in my daughter's pool in a banana boat. I was there going up and down the pool, just ecstatic with the news about Dwayne Wade joining the Bulls. I mean, it was probably, to me, one of the top five pieces of news I ever received as a Bulls fan. You know, thinking back to Jordan being drafted, Jordan coming back, well, win this lottery, get Derrick Rose, exactly. It was just right up there, though. I mean, it is to have a guy of this quality, a leader of this quality, and I know he's older. Everybody seems to just throw out that number. What matters to me most is he's still playing at a high level. This isn't Kobe Bryant. This is a guy who played at extremely high level just a month or so ago in the playoffs, who's still producing at a very high level, still one of the top 25 players in the NBA. And he chose to come to Chicago, you know, for whatever reason. Just throwing in the face of all those who said we don't get any big name free agents, we don't ever do anything here. I'm just ecstatic with the move.
I got to say, Fred, what you're going to hear in this podcast when you listen to it now is as of yesterday, I was not that excited for this upcoming season. It was just like, all right, we got Rajon Rondo. We're still light years away from being a really good team. But now that we got Dwayne Wade, look, he is 35 years old. It may not work out, but I got something to be excited for. I'm excited for this upcoming season. People are like, we should have tanked. But look, tanking, look at these teams that are not good. They've been bad forever. The Nuggets have been bad forever. The Nets have been bad now for a handful of years. The Knicks have been pretty bad now for a while. The Sixers have been bad forever. You see, you're right that to win a title in this league, it comes down to drafting and the luck of the ball. Because not all these guys are number one picks. Some guys like Stephon Curry were quite a bit lower than number one picks. Jimmy Butler was way lower than a number one pick. But is that guy even going to work out? How? It is very, very difficult, and it is a very long process to wait for that guy to come through the door. That's not what I want. The fact is that in sports, people get too hung up on championships and constantly trying to play for a title. Having a competitive team is a lot more fun than having a not competitive team. And frankly, if this team stays competitive, we were always been able to attract free agents and talk to free agents. We're part of the meetings with free agents. This year we landed one. But if we're good, you're going to continue to attract other people. And people are going to look at you, and they're going to look at your situation as a team in the Eastern Conference that with a couple pieces, free agents will look at us now. I'll tell you that. Now, he's got to produce. And he's got to be good. We got Pau Gasol when he was this age, and Pau Gasol had two very, very productive years with us. Now, Wade is more of an injury history. Wade has not missed that many games.
He played a ton of games last year.
He played over 70 games, and my thing is, dude, even if he plays 50 games, as long as he's ready for the playoffs, that's it, man. We have a chance. If Dwayne Wade can play like Dwayne Wade, he's way better than Derrick Rose. Like,
let me make a point before you get too far. in your opinions here, because you touched on something that I think is really important. And I brought this up on the Waddle and Sylvie show. I called up today, actually, and brought up this same point that to all the people out there who want us to tank and just be as bad as possible as we go into the draft for next year, it's a no-lose situation because that's still on the freaking table. Like, what, Jimmy Butler can't somehow turn into a lottery pick? Hello? The Celtics still have the Nets pick for next year. They're still going to be eager to get their hands on Jimmy Butler at some time during the season, assuming this, you know, blows up in a fiery ball and we suck and Rondo doesn't work and Wade's injured and it doesn't work. These are assets that you could still trade and rebuild. It's not like that whole, you know, that whole suck and we're going to be terrible is off the table. That's still an option that we could look explore. Heck, we turned freaking Kirk Heinrich into Holiday at the trade deadline. You mean to tell me you can't get something for Rondo or Dwayne Wade or something?
I only got Rondo's. You're only 2 year deal. There's only 2 year
deal. It's a one year deal.
Okay, and we're for Wade. Wade is a player option after this year. So if it's terrible, he could leave. The fact is you're right, Fred. At the end of the day, if you don't look, this makes us competitive. Now, at least we've got something to watch. That's interesting. They could be potentially very competitive, especially if some of the young guys start to work out. This allows you to let these young guys still have a very prominent role on this team where they're going to develop, and you're going to kind of see what you have, which is nice because with a lot of these guys, you're still trying to figure out exactly what's there. And you're going to give these guys that opportunity this year, but you're also going to give them the opportunity to not just be in complete substitute because you're going to have Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade, and Jimmy Butler on the team as well. And the fact is, look, they could be terrible this year, but they might be very good. And if they're very good, I'd much rather have that. And when these two guys are done, you look at the situation, but if you don't maybe have the assets here now, if these guys don't pan out that we currently have, like if Scott Nico starts to play really well, or if the guy we just drafted, Valentine, whoever, if any of these guys pan out a little bit like Hassan Whiteside did for the Heat last year, this is a different situation. And this is a pretty damn good team. It's like this is a great opportunity to see what we got and be competitive in the process, whatever happens. I love what you're saying, my friend.
And so, yeah, just to review, let's look at the worst-case scenario one more time. So let's just assume Rondo is awful. He's horrible in the locker room, which isn't going to be true. I don't feel that way. In fact, there was a really interesting interview on ESPN 1000 with George Karl. George Karl made the point that he was not anywhere close to the most difficult player he's ever had to coach. That as long as you communicate with them, you guys are going to be fine. And basically, he works extremely hard. He's always in the gym. I think Rondo, that's another thing I laugh at, is, oh, he needs the ball. Yeah, he needs the ball, but he's going to pass it. He's a pass-first point guard. This isn't Rose who's a shoot-first point guard. This is pass-first. He's going to give it up to he's going to give it up to Butler. He's going to give it up to Wade. And I think he's going to potentially lead the league in assists again for the second straight year if this works out well. But, again, worst-case scenario, let's just assume things go bad. Wade gets injured. We blow it up. We tank. And we trade Butler for a lottery-level pick. We're going to be bad after we trade Butler. We look at exploring trading Wade. We look at exploring trading Rondo for assets. I don't care if it's Taj for assets or if it's Nico for assets. You trade the considerable assets that you have on your team, and we'll suck for this year. We'll have a lottery pick. We'll have hopefully another pick in return for Butler. We'll have two picks, and we start over. Game on.
So let me ask you this.
That's
the worst.
Crying for. Yeah,
that's the worst case scenario. So tell me, what's the best case scenario?
This is the best case scenario. Now, everybody calm down. Hold on your seats because this is what
I'm
talking about
too
today.
Insane. Like,
and it's not insane. It's not insane. Best case scenario is my banana boat theory. The Bulls become the second best team in the East this year. I think it's extremely doable. I think they're better. I think they have the talent to be the second best team. Let's say the Cavs still represent the East in the finals and a tough ECF. They beat the Bulls, and they go on. The Cavs then get swept 4-0 in the finals by the Warriors. The Warriors destroy the Cavs. This is the best-case scenario. And LeBron has left that with facing now for the next 3 or 4 years at age 32, the only, you know, the best 3 or 4 years of his career that he's got left, that he's got an insurmountable Warriors team in front of him that he won't be able to beat. How do you beat that? Well, you go to the one team with flexibility to make the following happen. Who's the other guy in the banana boat? That's Chris Paul. Chris Paul's a free agent next year. He joins Dwayne Wade, Butler, and LeBron will sign with the Bulls. those four guys, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, Butler, and LeBron, in Chicago, and they make the team in the East, the one team that could potentially beat the Warriors. This would be absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. I brought this up on his show, and lo and behold, guess who comes on Waddle and Sylvie, an hour after I was on, Stu Gatz, who's Dan Le Batard's right-hand man in Miami, he brought up the exact same freaking scenario. Why not? He could absolutely see LeBron joining Wade in Chicago. They're best friends. If he loses out this year, just like I stated, he would go there, and we would make the miracle happen. That's the best-case scenario, right?
Obviously. Okay, give me from a play-in perspective, from this team, right? Without thinking that we're going to get Chris Paul, let me tell you, okay, here's what I'm going to say. Best-case scenario. I think best-case scenario is, like you said, Wade plays well. Wade averages about 20 points a game, shooting somewhere in the mid-40 range, which is how he's shot the last few years. Rondo plays like he played last season. Rondo was good last year. And if you hear Rondo today, he says, I don't know if people noticed me last year, but the fact is I was playing in Sacramento, and I think he had one game that was on TV. So I understand if you haven't seen me and you have misconceptions of the player that I am. He was good last year. And, I mean, the fact is he should be an upgrade over what Rose was. Do I think that Rose has a higher ceiling and could be more? Yeah, but I do think that in terms of what we've seen out of Rose, what we've gotten out of Rose, I'd rather have the 12 points and almost 12 assists.
Rondo is a better fit for this team.
You're going to get people open, but he can't shoot threes. But this team, he's healthy, Wade's healthy, and one of these other guys, like a Nico, turns out to be, a Hassan Whiteside or something in the range of, a good player that adds another facet to this team. The best case scenario is I think this team could win somewhere in the 50-game weight range and make the Eastern Conference Finals. What do I think that's my best case scenario. What do I think the likelihood is of your worst case scenario versus my best case scenario? I'm going to say that I'm 65 to 70% in favor of my best case scenario. I think that's more likely than the worst case scenario, because we're banking on injuries, and this is a guy that gets injured a lot. But if the Bulls can manage his minutes, we don't have Tom Thibodeau here anymore. If Fred Hoiberg, I don't care if Dwayne Wade plays 50 games. I don't care. As long as he's playing in the playoffs at a high level, I don't care how many games he misses, and Bulls fans are going to freak out all year if he misses games. I don't care. He's 34 years old and he's a guard. But the likelihood is I think we get something out of him this year. I don't necessarily think he'll be good for the 2 years on his deal, only because this is the age. You look at Kobe Bryant was just as good at Dwayne at his age. He got injured that season. It was the injury that changed the rest of his career. That's typically what happens. Wade's a guard. I just do not see Wade being a great basketball player at 36 years old. So this is a short thing, man. It's a short experiment, which is also why I feel like your LeBron James crazy situation is more unlikely because he's old. However, the good thing is that this team could be pretty damn competitive for a year or two, and as long as you're going to have free agent money next offseason, that will be attractive. Even if Wade's towards the end of his deal, players are going to see that they're coming to a good team, that some of these young guys pan out or something, and you have a shot at being able to make this team viable for the long term over the next two seasons. Getting that piece is going to help you run with Jimmy Butler and continue to compete. In the current situation, you're at least very competitive now, and you change the state of everything, because otherwise, we just would have been terrible. I mean, like, you're just terrible, and you're just waiting to... No one's going to want to come here.
I don't think you're terrible enough with Jimmy Butler. That's the whole point. Jimmy Butler was good enough to get you 40 wins. Like, I expected the Bulls to have 35 to 40. You add Wade and Rondo now, I expect them to have 45 to 50. Maybe even more if one of those younger players really, steps up. There's a couple key points here. Number one, I keep on hearing people throw out, not enough shooting. Derrick Rose shot 29% from three. Last year, Rondo shot 36.7%, right around 37% from three. An excellent percentage for a guy who had so many attempts, a career high in attempts last year, 170-plus, I think, right around there. It was not an insignificant amount of attempts, unlike most people believe. So if he is able to bring that three-point shot again around the same percentage, another key is if Butler can return to 37%. The year before last, Butler shot 37%. Last year, he shot 31% from three. He's got to return to respectability from three. And Nico continues his improvement at the three-point line. 2 years ago, Nico shot 31%. Last year, significantly better. I think he shot between 37% and 38%. I'm in the car, so I don't have it in front of me. That's a massive improvement. And if you have him at the four,
stretching out and creating that space, you have this problem solved. One more quick point I need to make. The most undervalued correlation to winning is free throw attempts. This is an asset that we have lacked in miserably in the last few years. The only two guys who got to the line were Gasol and Butler. Now, I want you to think about this. Outside of Gasol and Butler, last year's team, this includes everybody who walked into the gym. They had a total that's Rose, Nico, Taj, Holiday. I don't care. Whoever played for the Bulls outside of Paw and Butler had a total of 730 free throws made. 730. Okay? Last year, Jimmy Butler and Wade, Dwayne Wade alone, had a total of 717. Just those two guys. They were both in the top 25 in terms of free throw attempts and free throws made. Huge, undervalued stat that covers up poor shooting. Oklahoma City didn't have a lot of great three-point shooters. They had 38% from Durant, and then a bunch of guys that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from three. But they had two of the top 25 in terms of free throw attempts and free throws made. That covers up a lot of holes when it comes to shooting. And I think the Bulls have more talent shooting than you think. You have, obviously, McDermott, who's top 25, top five, top seven in the league in three-point percentage. You have Valentine, who's an excellent shooter now. Everybody has forgotten about.
How about Nico Mirotić?
And Nico,
look at what he did. We could say what we want about Nico, but Nico was hot the last month of the season last year. He shot 47% on seven attempts a game from three. 47% over the course of the month on seven attempts a game. That's insane. I mean, that's like the month before. I mean, he had a 5-for-10, a 7-for-13 performance. I mean, he was consistently good the last month or so of the year where he got injured. He had a really slow start, and then he had the injury. And I didn't expect much of him when he came back because of the terrible start he had. He looked horrible the first 2 months of the year. But he certainly ended the season on a high note. And if Nico Mirotić is averaging almost 20 points a game, he was averaging 16 points during this stretch. If he's averaging somewhere in that range, you've got potency in the offense. Rondo can't score, but Nico's going to take over a lot of that scoring that Powell was doing before. I think that he could average Paul Gasol offensive numbers for sure, because Nico gets to the line and Nico shoots threes. So I think that he could average the offense that Powell gave us, if not a little bit more. And I certainly think that Wade's going to give us more offense than Rose. Rose was inconsistent last year, especially at the beginning of the year. He wasn't very good. I mean, his numbers at the end of the year are way worse than Wade's numbers last year. They just are. Like, I was all about Derrick Rose, but Dwayne Wade is still like, he's Dwayne Wade. He's a much more established player. He's been consistently much better, and it's amazing to get a Chicago guy in here. You lose the Chicago guy, but you're bringing back the Chicago guy, the best
guy Rondo,
ever.
Yeah. Rondo's a much better fit than Rose is if you're playing next to Butler and Wade. It's a fact. He's pass first, Rose is shoot first. Those three would not, Rose, Butler, and Wade would not be able to work together. They're just, it's not a fit. So I'm not saying, I think Rose is better than Rondo. I'm not saying that Rondo is better. I'm saying Rondo is a better fit. He's pass first. He's going to look to assist. He's going to look for assists, not for shots. So, you know, the thing that really bothers me, though, I will say, Mark, the reaction on Twitter from some of the haters, you're just going to hate on every freaking move this management team makes? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it's going to be for the rest of our lives? Because I can freaking guarantee you that if that was Tom Thibodeau who had taken over and they fired Garn Pax and they gave everything to Tom Thibodeau and these moves were made yesterday, you would hear the reaction would have been totally freaking different. Oh, what? This is a guy who's willing to make things happen. Look at how he's already trying to, you know, make the team better. The team's better than it was before. You basically turned Dunleavy into, you know, Dwayne Wade. I mean, come on, man. You really, is everything going to be like this going forward? Every freaking move? Valentine was a fantastic draft pick. Where you were at, that's an A-plus move. This was a freaking great move. You just embarrassed Miami. You made your team better. We're the second-best team in the East. I don't want to just, every move that the Bulls front office makes going forward is not automatically a bad move. Come on.
It's not just fans. I'm reading this everywhere. I mean, everything that I've read, from Real GM to Hoopsite, every site that I've read is giving a terrible grade to
to
the Bulls, and they
true.
Think it's a terrible move.
Not true. There's
who have you seen?
There's a lot of people who think it's a good move for the Bulls. I've seen Brian Windhorst said basically, you know, they're better, absolutely better, and now you're in play for 2017 free agent class. Hey, the fact of the matter is the Lakers proved if you're going to tank, you're not going to get anybody in that class, right? So I think, again, I give you the worst-case scenario. We still can tank if we want to for the upcoming season. If things don't go well in the first half of the year, we'll tank in the second. But let's assume that things go well. Now we have a guy who can recruit who's already made Chicago look like a much more attractive destination.
That's great.
Clearly a class act, and it makes us a player in getting somebody in here.
It's a home run for Gar Pax, because if this doesn't work, if Wade gets injured or if Rondo's not good and he clashes with coaches, you are going to have such a huge backlash from fans. I think that this could be their job. If this doesn't work, I could see something like this being their job, because they're going to be terrible. And there's going to be a huge backlash, especially after the way that we were at this point. Thibodeau, up until this point where you signed Wade, they were kind of in the shitbox of everyone. And this is a home run move. This is a, you are swinging for the freaking fences, you better know what you're doing type move. And a lot of these things are out of their hands, but I trust that they felt good enough about it. The question at the end of the day is, do I think that it's a winning move? And I think it is a winning move. And I think that, like you said, if the things go right and we play well, it makes us a much more attractive place for free agents. It's going to make it much more likely that we're going to be able to build a competitive team moving forward. I don't want to just be bad to move up in the draft 5 to 10 spots. I would much rather have, you want a desirable market. That means something too. And the only way to be that way is to consistently win. If we keep making the playoffs after missing out on last year's playoffs, it's going to restore credibility to us as a franchise. You hear people all the time reference the Chicago Bulls as one of the teams that are like the mainstays of the playoffs. They've made the playoffs more over since up until last year than any other team in the East. And it's, you know, there is a culture of winning that we had built. We swayed from that last year. But if they come back and they're good this year, you've changed the culture and people's perceptions go with that. But yeah, if it doesn't work, this is their careers. Goodbye,
Jeff. Yeah, I think it will work. I think Wade's a winner. I think he's a leader. He's going to show these young guys. I think it'll be good for Butler. He'll show how a real, you know, true champion acts. And I think Butler will respect Wade. He's going to respect him a heck of a lot more than he respected Rose and Noah. He just is. Because Dwayne Wade has 3 titles. Rose and Noah, unfortunately, don't really have anything. You know, it's like a whole different status when we're talking about Dwayne Wade. He is a, for sure, first ballot Hall of Famer who brings gravitas to what he says, because he's won multiple times in multiple different situations. And not only that, he's got the love of the players, man. Guys like this guy. And I just think it's a home run move. And he's from freaking Chicago, which on top of it, just throws all this stuff. He went to Oakland. He went to Richards in Oakland, my hometown.
The best Chicago player in history, right?
Dwayne Wade. I've always loved the guy, and I'm just ecstatic he's here. And between the two choices, you know, blowing it up and just tanking, really? Out of these two options, you prefer tanking all next season, going through what we have to go through. All you millennials have no idea what it was like from 98 to 2003. It sucked.
What ended up happening was we got some mediocre picks. We got mediocre picks, and we were eventually able to just build. What did we do? All we did was we strapped some things together eventually, and we're able to make a competitive team, and that was good enough. When you had Gordon and Heinrich and all those, Nocioni, those guys, people were happy just because we were competitive. After not being competitive for so long, it's not like we got some God bless free agent. We ended up getting that free agent in 2008, but for all that time, fans were ecstatic. In 2004, I believe, when they first made the playoffs with Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry and those guys, and for a couple of years after that, man, people were happy. It was just, we're going to add that one more piece. We're on a path where we're just going to get that one more piece, and maybe we can win a title. Well, the fact is that now you've got the pieces to be far, far better than that team ever was, and you still got Jimmy Butler. So over the next, this team can be good now. And I know Wade's not going to be here forever, but then fine. In a year or two, between next year and the year after that, you've now got time to figure out what you're going to do, what kind of a free agent you're going to try to get, how are you going to draft, whatever it is, how are you going to acquire the talent that you're going to need to remain competitive. This is the stepping point. With that Bulls team, by the way, we eventually blew it up. It was never going to be good enough. We ended up not making the playoffs shortly after that. That was the road, and that's the road to the Sixers. The Sixers have gotten nothing, and they've been, like, the worst team ever for, like, three or four years.
They've been terrible forever. I mean, come on. They haven't been good since 2012, the Sixers. They haven't been good with Collins season after season of just having no shot. Whatever you say about the Bulls now, they are players for free agents next year. You have a couple nice young players in Nico and McDermott and Valentine and Portis. This is a good combination. So just
let me throw one more thing out there, Fred. Look at those teams that have been tanking for years. Look at their roster and tell me one freaking player on half these teams that's going to be that guy. That's going to be that they finally got
him. It guarantees you nothing. Guarantees
and half the time, by the time you do it, the team sucks too because you got that pick. But then you're in this state of we're too good to get any better picks. So it's like LeBron in Cleveland the first time, most of the time, where he's only the best. He's the one player you can get because you suck. People still don't want to come there. And unless you're a LeBron-type talent, you're not attracting, you know, it's not like every single free agent's going to want to come play with you. It's like you have to wait for them to develop. And it's like you try to see if you can get a few pieces of free agency, but most of them never end up getting over the hump with their team unless they're truly, truly one of the absolute best players in the league, like a Kevin Durant or like a LeBron James or a Steph Curry. Other than those types of guys, which there's only like three that just change you overnight, and Dwayne Wade was this at one point, that move's not going to work. So let's just keep this team competitive. Let's keep this a winning culture here and make it a place where people are going to want to continue to go because it's a pipe dream to think you're going to get that pick. It's a pipe dream. You're much better off making trades with shitty teams and trying to get their pick, like Boston did this year, than you are to trading your assets for hype for picks for teams that are going to be likely bad than you are trying to do it on your own. That's a long and dark path.
All right, my man. I got to hit the ground running. Great to have you on. Great to talk, as usual, my man.
So excited.
I think we're both in agreement here, and let's hope some other people jump on board. Email
for
us.
Sure.
Your opinions. Love to hear them. ChicagoBullseye@gmail.com. All right, my man. I got to run.
If it ain't bull.
Right. It ain't basketball.
Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to a long overdue episode of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Lewenthal. With me, as always, is Fred Pfeiffer. Fred, I finally got to see you this weekend.
Fantastic. Yeah, it was almost a year to the day when we both went to see...
Noel Gallagher.
Noel Gallagher at the Riv, and we got to see Guns N' Roses at Soldier Field. I think we need to dedicate an entire show to that discussion, Mark. Let's not get off the topic here, because, I mean, that was... you know, life-changing event. I hope you felt the same way.
I went twice. I loved it so much. I went again Sunday.
Well, real quick, before we get into the topic at hand, second show better than the first, equal, worse?
Well, here's my general thoughts, Fred. Second show, it was way less packed, so from an accessibility standpoint, we didn't have that giant crazy line going in. I was able to move around, too, so I moved, actually, to the front row of the 100 levels, so I was like, I had great seats for the second show. I was the entire left side, 200 or 300, 400 levels. They didn't sell seats for them. So on the west side of the whole stadium. So it was a different atmosphere. The first show was definitely more crazy and raucous. It was, from my standpoint, I mean, you know, it's different when you're seeing a band for the second time in 2 days versus the first time seeing them ever. I was way more excited for the first show. So the first show was better, but the second show, it was those tickets. Man, I mean, the tickets that I got, those travel through tickets that you found me, were five sections to the left of where we were for $25.
Unbelievable.
I know.
It's unbelievable. Know. Anyhow, let's not get off into that. We'll dedicate an entire show to discussion on Guns N' Roses, their place in rock, performance, you know, how great it was, et cetera. Big week in the NBA. I mean, obviously,
Hugely.
Durant's departure for the Warriors, to me, is probably one of the top 10 most shocking things that we've heard about in the NBA, you know, along with Jordan's retirement, Jordan's return, Magic Johnson's HIV diagnosis, LeBron's return. And I'd put this right up there, probably around, you know, 6, 7, 8, right there in the top 10 of most shocking things that's happened. I certainly did not expect him to leave Oklahoma City this year for Golden State. But, wow, you know, a super team in the making. To me, it puts all the pressure on him, though, now. I mean, now they better win. You know, if they don't win, and he's joining a team that was basically up 3-1 in the finals, I mean, basically it's a title team, and they can't beat LeBron now. I mean, to me, this is an opportunity for LeBron to solidify his spot as the second greatest of all time and maybe start getting into that conversation with Michael as the greatest of all time, because if he beats this team, wow. But it also puts pressure on Durant because he's got to win it. He's got to win a title. I think in the long run, if he wins a title, it'll probably be a good move. What say you?
First of all, I think it's a terrible move for the NBA. I think that the NBA should have done something to try to protect against something like this. You knew that every team in the NBA was going to have an extra $30 million in cap this offseason. They should have done something to make sure that the rich don't just get richer, because in this offseason, you're seeing it with us, Fred, that the Bulls a team that's in a big market but not that good. And in fact, almost every team had no chance unless you overpaid somebody that truly didn't deserve it, some crazy contract. Small market teams or teams that were not the Golden State Warriors were not going to attract top-tier free agents. This gave the rich a chance to just get that much richer. Every team besides Cleveland, who was already over the luxury tax last year. And I think it's just kind of a disgusting move for the NBA because it's like, come on, this team won 73 games. This is different than LeBron going to Miami. When LeBron went to Miami first, he was coming off of a team that was terrible the year before. They had many opportunities to put a winner around him, and they didn't do it. So he goes to Miami, a team that they had the guts to be able to put those three guys on it. So there was only vulnerabilities because they did not have the depth that most championship teams do. This situation is totally different. This is Durant leaving a team that made it to the seventh game of the Western Conference Finals against the Golden State Warriors and saying, I'm going to join this team that won 73 games last year. If Stephen Curry didn't injure his knee in the playoffs and they were playing the way that they played throughout most of the year, I'm sure that the Warriors would have won the title. They were one of the best teams in the history of the NBA, despite the fact that they didn't win a title. And for a player of that caliber to be able to go over to the Oklahoma City or to the Golden State Warriors, to me, is just disgusting. It's disgusting. This kills the league because it makes this team that is so gargantuanly better than everyone else, and it made it where the only competition that they had in the West is gone now.
Will you calm down? I think you need to calm down. First of all, from Durant's perspective, I do understand why he left.
If
Durant's about winning titles, if that's all he cares about, he could not have picked a better team. I think in the long run, if he wins multiple titles and is the MVP in one of those finals, then I think people will, you know, regard him as one of the greatest of all time. I don't think Durant was going to win a title next year with Oklahoma City. I don't think he was going to win it the following year with Oklahoma City.
Agreed.
Hey, they couldn't beat Golden State, right? And Golden State couldn't beat Cleveland. So I don't think he was going to beat either team. Now I think he's got a legit chance of winning a title. I think it's obvious. They're going to be the favorite. I think they should beat any team in the finals, provided they're all healthy. So I think if that's what he cares about, that's his prerogative, man. I mean, a lot of people are so angry at him.
I don't fault LeBron or Durant at all. I don't fault Durant either.
He made the right choice. If that's what he cares about, that's what he wants, go ahead and do it, man. I do feel like Stephen A., I saw his viewpoint, too. I understand that, too. I understand saying that. But, you know, one thing about Jordan, and they always throw this out, well, Jordan didn't do that, or MJ didn't do or Bird didn't do that, or Magic didn't do that. They couldn't do that. The situation wasn't so that they could just choose where they wanted and put together and pick a team to go to. I do feel that if Michael kept, Michael was ready to win titles in year two when he scored 60-plus on the Celtics in the playoffs. The guys following him, Pippen was having migraine headaches coinciding with Game 7 into the ECF Finals against Detroit. If those guys kept on failing in critical moments and he never would have won a title, I think eventually he might have left to just go win a title because you have to do that to solidify your status as one of the all-time greats. It's all about the rings. And I think that's what Durant's at right now. That's what he's talking about. I want to be one of the greatest of all time, and I totally understand it. One thing about Durant, I will say, I've never been a huge proponent of him. I've always felt there was a clear delineation between Durant and LeBron, for example, as one of the top players. I'd even put Curry ahead of Durant. He did impress the heck out of me defensively this year. I thought in the playoffs he really took it up a considerable notch and played really well in the playoffs on the defensive end. And if he shows that same effort that he showed against Golden State for Golden State, nobody's going to beat them with the possible exception of the Cavs. You know, and the Cavs, it's going to take a Herculean effort from LeBron to do that. So I'm excited about it. You know, I'm not as depressed as some people are. I think it's going to make it for an interesting season, and nothing is guaranteed. You know, who knows who's going to be injured? But I think that team could probably afford one injury to the Big Four and still be able to win the title. So it'll be fun. I guess any other comments on this?
I agree with you 100%. I do not blame Durant at all. I agree with you. If he kept playing at Oklahoma City, I don't think he was ever going to win a title. And there's really no difference at that point between him and Carmelo Anthony, where I do think there's a difference between the two of them. But historically, 10, 20, 30, 40 years later, I don't necessarily know if they'd be regarded that differently if Durant never won a championship. I get that he had to win a title for his legacy. My fury, again, comes at the NBA for putting a situation out there where a team like the Golden State Warriors could go out and get a max free agent like Kevin Durant. The NBA should have done
don't
something
blame
about
the NBA.
That, but I understand.
Hey, the players union wants to have freedom for these guys to do it.
That's not like that, though, but you shouldn't make it where all they should have upped the cap, but done something that protected these big market teams from just having this free for all one season. Because you have this automatically this 1 year where all these big market teams had this incredible advantage to be able to pick up a free agent, and that's not right. The parity
of the
league changed overnight.
Lakers are a big market team,
but the Lakers aren't good. The Lakers aren't good.
Well, don't blame the NBA. Blame the team. The Lakers aren't good.
No.
Congrats to Golden State.
The cap should have been changed differently. They should have at least.
Put themselves in a position to do this.
They
Golden
didn't
State
put themselves
did
in this position. The NBA did. The NBA changed the cap.
The Golden
said,
State
oh, everyone
drafted.
Has 30 more hey, that's 30
State,
million more.
Golden
they
State
built the team before this.
Golden State drafted Curry. Golden State drafted.
You're right.
Golden State drafted Thompson. They
yes
put themselves in the position to attract Durant. Don't blame
but
the
they
NBA
never should have been able to have some cash to be able to bring over, when you have players like that on your roster, you should not have had this ease of bringing over another player like Durant.
Oh, my
now,
God. Here
it
we
all
go.
It's all because Stephon Curry hurt himself in, what, 2014 or whenever he signed that contract. He'd just come off of a knee injury, and he missed almost the whole year. And that's the reason this all happened. But because he didn't sign the max contract that he should have signed. If he did, this wouldn't have happened. But
don't
even
get
so
any problems at the time, and Golden State took a chance on it, too, by paying him a lot of money when there were questions at the time when he signed that deal about his health, Mark. You know
I agree with
true
you.
So,
I agree
mean,
with you.
Both teams took a risk. He took a little bit less money for a little bit more long-term security. Curry's going to be fine in the long run. He's going to get another big deal next year. I don't understand. You know, we had this debate on text message with a couple of your friends who I love dearly. I love Paul a lot, but man, oh man. You know, he's angry at the league and angry at the players, and they're making way too much money. Come on, let's knock it off. Let's knock it off. These guys work their ass off to get in this position, and this is a free market determines what they're getting paid. The corporations are paying huge amounts of money to pay the NBA because people love the NBA. And so that money's there. I want it to go to players. They work hard. They deserve it. Owners deserve it for creating the situation. They both deserve the money. Don't get it. I mean, don't be a hater just because they're making tons of money. Where else in the world can these guys make this kind of cash? They deserve it. They work their asses off.
I agree with you. All I disagree with is that it should have, this cap increase, this astronomical cap increase, should have been instituted differently so that it didn't all of a sudden make it where every single team in the world just has money overnight. Maybe what they could have done is you take whatever percentage is going up in everyone's contracts that are currently out there, they go up that percentage or something like that, so that it makes it where we're still sitting in the same the same market layout as we were before, where it's not just all of a sudden every single team can afford max contracts. Because that's not good for the league. That favors the good teams. That favors the good big market teams, not the teams that need free agents, frankly. Like, it's very different when you've got three teams out there who have worked their cap so that they get to be in this position. Not where everyone goes out there to get the Bulls. Nobody had a chance at Kevin Durant because Golden State had money. And the only reason they had money is because everyone had money.
You know, six teams did. Six teams could. Every team had a chance at Durant because they could have put themselves in position to win a title by drafting well. Everybody had a chance in the league at Draymond Green. Golden State picked him up in the second round. So knock it off. I mean, yeah, they
different
put themselves
that's
in
different
that position. Steph Curry was a 7th pick overall. Minnesota could have drafted well and had Steph Curry. All these guys could. They could also drafted well and drafted Draymond Green. In addition to Towns, they would have put themselves in that position. I mean, it is what it is. Everybody's heard the argument.
Look
opinion on it.
This year, though, I'm just saying, this year they did not put themselves in this position. The NBA put them in a position to sign Kevin Durant. That's it. The other moves they made great moves. They built this amazing team. Good for them. But now this team is going to be some crazy to do. Jordan, I don't think, won his first title until he was about Durant's age.
Seventh
he did
year
not have this supporting cast. Kevin Durant, they could right now, they could be just unbeatable. for years. This team could be unbeatable for years.
We'll see. Let's go to the Bulls quickly, because I want your opinion on this. I only have a few more minutes, unfortunately. I'd like to get your opinion on the Rondo signing. And I mean, this has gone, I'd say a good 98% of the fan base hates it. I don't see what's the loss. What's the potential to lose here? The guy, first of all, let me just make a really quick comment. Our point guard last year, Derrick Rose, averaged 4.7 assists. Rondo led the league at 11.7. He's a pass-first player. Rose was a shoot-first point guard. Rondo's a pass-first guy who shot 36 or 37% from three last year. Rose shot 29%. I agree. There's a lot of potential problems with Rondo. He's a jackass. I understand all that. But I believe he'll be on his best behavior on a contract that essentially is a one-year deal. You can trade him, you can cut him, and the penalty in year two is minimal.
I don't think so. I don't know for sure about that, Fred. From what I have read, it was not partially guaranteed the second year. So
okay,
first
well,
I read
that's
that,
a big deal.
No.
Now, where did you hear this? We got to find this out for certain.
I believe it might have been Casey. He initially reported that it was partial, and then I read people afterwards saying, no, correction, it's not. Either way, listen. I do hear the fans going crazy over this move. I get it, especially what Rondo did 2 years ago. I mean, look, we were in the market for a point guard, and Rajon Rondo was the best available point guard, and we got him at a pretty decent deal. Do I think he's better than Derrick Rose? Nah, probably not. Not at this point of his career.
He's better for Jimmy. He led the league with
11.7 assists last year. His field goal percentage was okay. His three-point percentage last year, he raised his attempts, and his three-point percentage, I believe, was like 36% last year. Look, you wouldn't have done better than Rajon Rondo, and you got him at a pretty decent deal. Why? But my question is, I don't know exactly what we're trying to do here. Is this a retool or a rebuild? Because at first I thought it was a rebuild. But if you're bringing in Rajon Rondo, it's a retool. And if you're going after Dwayne Wade, whatever, it's a retool.
Let me explain it.
And if it's a retool, hang on 1 second. If it's a retool and you want to win basketball games and you're still trying to become the best team you can be, I am, A, great, okay with the Rondo signing. It wasn't a ton of cash for a point guard that had a pretty good year last year. Secondly, the fact that we're not going out and signing these John Lauer to a freaking, $30 million, $10 million a year deal, I'm perfectly okay with that because that's what cripples your team, not 2-year deals for vets that may or may not be good anymore.
But let me explain. This is completely consistent with what we've heard from the Bulls front office. They said, we're going to retool and we're going to go after the free agent class in 2017. That class is clearly exponentially better than 2016. I'll get into that in a second. What also is important to realize is that looking at the Lakers, you cannot be Philadelphia 76er or L.A. Laker bad and expect to attract a high-end free agent. You still need to remain competitive. Therefore, they went out and signed Rondo, who to me was basically a one-year deal is going to help them remain competitive and still be attractive to that 2017 class, which includes, I'm going to name guys here really quick, Westbrook, Millsap, Gallinari, Lowry, Hayward, Blake Griffin, Teague, Ibaka. These are just some of the names that I'd rather overpay for next year.
A lot of people have money next year, too, though.
Etuan Moore and Matthew Dellavedova and all these guys in this class, which, with the exception of Durant, pretty much sucked. This, you're overpaying for guys this year. You're better off keeping your powder keg dry and going for it next year. And I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine with what they did. Etuan Moore, I loved Etuan Moore. I thought he did a great job. Is Etuan Moore a better deal at $10 million a year for 4 years than possibly
Rondo?
Or Millsap next year for,
No, but Fred, everyone's going to have money next year. Everyone's going to have money next year again. Because this cap goes up again. So,
there's a lot of teams that are going to have a little bit less because they sign ridiculous contracts to second-tier players this season.
That's true. Like the Dallas Mavericks. I'd way rather be the Bulls right now than the Dallas Mavericks. I'll say that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The Dallas Mavericks just signed a 4-year deal for Harrison Barnes, who was a complete bum when it mattered most. I'm just saying, is Paul Millsap going to look at Chicago?
be more attracted to the situation there next year or to Dallas? Is he going to look at Jimmy Butler in his prime and say that's a guy I could win with? Or is he going to look over to Dirk Nowitzki and the Mavs and, you know, and what they have there?
I think it depends what we do.
Look at practice. We got four young players that I think McDermott, look at the four young guys we have. Valentine, McDermott, Portis, and Nico. Those four guys, we need one of those guys to be great and two of them to be good. I think it's entirely possible that could happen. I think Valentine, we didn't really discuss this before. Valentine, I'm extremely bullish on, much higher than anyone else. I think the guy has the ability to be Paul Pierce, even better, because he's an exceptional passer. He performed at a very high level against the best competition in college basketball. I love the kid. He can shoot the ball. He can pass. He's an exceptional passer, and he doesn't get enough credit for it. And everybody talks about him being not an elite athlete. Well, it was Paul Pierce, but he was very effective in the NBA. That's what I see Valentine to be. What say you?
I don't know a ton about Valentine. You're the Big Ten guy, not me. I'm going to say this about your statement about next year. It's going to come down to production. I do not think that we are a better team right now than we were last year, because you lost Derrick Rose and you lost Pau Gasol. And nobody's talking about Pau Gasol. I am okay with replacing Rose and who Rose was with Rajon Rondo. But we don't know yet if anybody else on the team can help offload some of that scoring load that Pau Gasol took on. We were one of the worst offenses in the league last year, and we had Pau Gasol. This year, you're going to need a few guys to step up. I love your hypotheticals. If, Nico, if Tellacio, or any of those guys show up and end up being better than we thought that they were, then maybe this team can be great. But at the moment, on paper, do I think the Bulls are going to be really good next year? No. And even if we got Dwayne Wade,
what do you think they're going to be? I was on Waddle and Sylvie. I bet them 50 different districts yesterday. I bet they would be, the number's 43.5. Do you think they're going to be better than 43.5? Or worse?
If I had to put my money on it, at this point, no. I think they'll be worse.
Why? Why?
Because they haven't replaced the assets that they lost, man. I mean, you're saying that they're going to be above 500 when they were barely above 500 this year. They're
Robin,
you think they're going to be better next year? I don't think so.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that Nico won't have appendicitis again. I'm pretty sure we won't see the amount of injuries that we had last year.
But we had Pau Gasol last year. Derek was playing the whole year. Jimmy was injured for a brief period of the year.
Derek missed a lot of key games. We replaced him with Rondo as pass first. Butler missed a ton of games. I don't want to go through the whole injury. The injury situation last year
will not
be replicated this season. It will not be replicated. It can't be replicated because everything comes back to the mean, and it was a historically insane year for the amount of injuries the Bulls had. So they will be healthier this year. Nico won't have appendicitis again. Noah won't miss the whole season because he's not here anymore. Robin Lopez doesn't have the injury history. He's a better, he's a good defender, not probably, I'd put him on a.
I think he's better at this point in his career. At this point in his career, Robin Lopez is a better basketball player than Joakim Noah now. The contract that Joakim Noah signed, to me, I like what the Knicks did with Derrick Rose. I think that it was a risk that was worth taking. Joakim Noah, it kind of just invalidated everything because it was just like, are you serious? This guy's been horrible. But Robin Lopez is better for our team. But, we'll see who else is still there when the season starts. I don't think that on paper that we are as good right now as we were last year. I mean, we'll see if that changes.
I love Noah. I think he's one of the greatest guys ever to play for Chicago Bulls. But it was clear that he and Rose had to go if you needed to turn it over to Butler and make it his team. And right now, I'm kind of fine with building around Jimmy because I think we're going to be better than most people expect. I expect us this year to win, a decent amount of games, over 43. That's what I bet. 43. I'd probably between 43 and 45. And I want Valentine to take a step. And I think next year, if you can add Paul Millsap, now you're cooking with gas. You got Butler, Millsap, Valentine. I really think Valentine's going to be good. I think he's going to surprise a lot of you haters. I really think he's going to be a good ball player. And then
there's a lot of confidence in a guy that hasn't stepped on an NBA floor yet, Fred. We'll
that
see.
Is true.
But I want to keep this show. We're going to mark this one and put a little tag next to it because it's the I Told You So show. That does not happen because you're definitely feeling very bullish about him.
Gosh, I just got a note here from Adrian Wojnarowski. I hope this isn't true. This is dated 1/37, so just a little bit, a few minutes ago.
Sources, Bulls canceled meeting with Dwayne Wade. Flight kept getting pushed back. If Wade is still serious, Chicago could travel to meet him on Thursday. Holy cow. I mean, all right, well, let's get into that really briefly because I got to run, Mark. I hate to say it. Signing Dwayne Wade, yes or no?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you can't, look, he had a good year last year. I don't know about giving him a 3-year deal, which is what it sounds like he wants, but Miami was stupid with the way that they handled the situation. I am all for it because, look, he's a guy that can still score in this league. Even if he gets injured, that's not something that we're not used to, and he's been a very good player for the Miami Heat year in and year out, though, you know, obviously I think he's probably got maybe a year or two left under him. I don't know why you would cancel the meet. I mean, like, what are you trying to say? My flight got delayed, so you're the Chicago Bulls. You should be able to find a way to get to New York. I don't know why you can't get to New York through the Chicago Bulls, but, you know, if they really wanted him. But it doesn't sound like they really did. It sounds like, it, I mean, you're kind of putting it on him. Well, if he really wants it, we can meet him on Thursday. And it's like, well, why? Is it because of storms in Chicago?
I don't know, but I got to tell you, I thought signing, I'm one of the few who is in favor of signing Wade. I think signing Wade kind of signifies to the rest of the league that, you know, for once and for all, this is a destination to go to. This is a place. It just kind of nullifies all the narrative that some people or some player, I'm not even sure if the players even have this narrative, but it definitely nullifies the narrative of the fans if you're going to attract a guy like Wade, who's still at an older age, is still an excellent, you know, all-star type player, who's still one of the best players in the NBA, you know, definitely in the top 30, I would say. And, you know, adding a player of that quality to your team, with Butler, you can move Butler to the 3, Wade at the 2, Rondo at the 1, and then, you know, Taj at the 4, and Robin Lopez at the 5. That starting 5 is, to me, clearly, if you can add him, the second best in the East.
I don't know. It would depend on the player that he is. I would have a lot more optimism about this team if we were able to get him. But we'll see. I think that he's toying because if Miami came back with a 2-year, $40 million deal, I ultimately think that he's going to sign it. Look at these teams that he's talking to, though. I would say of the teams that he's talking to, who would you rather go to? The Bucks, us, or the Nuggets? I'd rather go to the Bulls, but I don't think the Bulls have the cap space to sign him for what he wants. And, you know, I think he's going to go back to Miami, but I guess we'll see.
All right, man. I got to hit the road running. I hit the ground running here. I got to head out. But, man, I just hope that, you know, whatever it takes, if you can't fly there, get in
drive.
Car and drive there.
Yeah, dude. Go rent
it.
Go get a Kia.
Probably worth
get
it,
out
right?
there.
And don't let it get out. Holy cow. I mean,
let's have a road trip, man. Let's go get in the Kia, get Gar and Pax in the front. You're going to get Jerry Reinsdorf in the back, maybe a couple of the equipment managers or something, maybe Dwayne Wade's mom in the back seat. Go on a little road trip, going down to New York together, man, singing carols along the way.
All right, my man. Take it easy, brother.
It's
I got to ground run.
It ain't both.
It ain't basketball.
Take care, Freddie.
All right, buddy.